Are you tired of hearing politically correct propaganda from the government, the media, the schools, and the churches, when in your heart you know it's not true? Does your pastor entertain you with irrelevant pablum while you yearn for strong spiritual meat? Does the shallowness of the masses turn you off? Then perhaps you are being called to a higher level of understanding. Learn the amazing truths that have been hidden from our people. For
the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, the views of Barry Shamish, who's an Israeli investigative reporter. Of course, he's living here in the United States today because of threats against his life. In fact, I'm surprised that they didn't finish him off a long time ago. He's written extensively about the murder of Rabin, the prime minister or premier of Israel. He's written extensively about so many of the people that have been actually assassinated over there by the intelligence agencies in Israel, as the leadership of the country has been transferred to people like Olmert, who is simply an extension of the Council on Foreign Relations, and Perez is simply an extension of the Vatican, and I don't know who Barack represents, but he's not much good. He's the defense minister at the present time. And everything is being done to set up Israel to be destroyed in the coming war. Well, that is the background. Barry, you pick up the story.
Oh, well, Barack is represented by the Washington Institute for Near East Peace, which is Dennis Ross, all tied up with the CFR. They made him a very wealthy man. No problem with Barack and his ties. But we'll do that some other show.
All right, fine.
Look, I'm going to start with something I don't know a lot about, and it's entirely conspiratorial, and I'm saying so ahead of time. I have no proof, but I did get a phone call yesterday, and it's worthy of listening to because it's of interest. I've been saying this week on your show that it's just absolutely uncanny that Israel had an earthquake a week ago, and there were only two spots that were hit where actual damage was found in the whole country of Israel. One was just outside Joseph's tomb in Nablus, and one was right on the Temple Mount. And I've been saying either this is divine or it's got to be the world's weirdest coincidence. And I repeat, the damage could have been anywhere in Israel, not just on the Temple Mount. Anyways, I spoke to the woman, and her husband worked as a meteorologist for the government, and she gave me the background. And she says to me, you don't understand, they know how to control damage from earthquakes. And she started giving me details, which, I don't know what to believe. I'm not a meteorologist, but she said they know how to control earthquakes. They can actually create the damage you see. And she said that this was a controlled earthquake, and the damage on the Temple Mount was from human sources. There, I just said it. I'm just leaving an idea. I can't prove a thing here.
Well, I know that they can create storms and they can create droughts. We know this. Certainly, Zygmunt Bzezinski talked about that back in 1970 in his book of Between Two Ages. And we have the pages from the book. If anybody wants to know it, we've got all sorts of things on weather modification, books, DVDs, four tape sets. No question they can modify the weather, and I have no question at all that they can control earthquakes too, and they can create seismic earthquakes, massive earthquakes, you know, or they can even, you know, determine exactly where the damage is going to be. They have the ability today, but they cannot tell the American people what they're really up to. So I would not simply discount what she said.
Oh, I didn't, or I wouldn't be saying it to you. If I thought it would make me totally foolish, I wouldn't have said so.
Right.
But it was certainly an interesting conversation, which I passed on to you. It may not have been so divine, that's all. A lot of people think it was a divine earthquake, and the Temple Mount was hit with a message, and I couldn't figure out the message, quite frankly, except next time we'll bring down the entire Temple Mount, and was a warning. But it was really a very remarkable earthquake, and I got a very unremarkable answer to how it was done. That's all.
Okay.
We, as usual, have to take an overview of the last week in Israel before we...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Each night when you sleep, your body uses the time to restore itself so that you could wake up feeling renewed. But wouldn't it be nice to also wake up looking younger? Now there's Night Skin, a serum that goes on while you sleep to reduce age spots, reduce the appearance of wrinkles, and moisturize the skin. Night Skin was made by Dr. Arthur Perry, a board-certified cosmetic surgeon, as an alternative to some invasive surgeries. It has real ingredients that have been shown to reduce the signs of aging and fight natural sun damage, all while you get a good night's sleep. Try Night Skin today and see what it's like to wake up feeling renewed, both inside and out.
Try Night Skin risk-free by calling 1-800-457-9914. Night Skin is guaranteed to renew your skin overnight. Turning back the clock has never been this easy. Try Night Skin risk-free today. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Hi, Dr. Deagle here from the NutraMedical Report, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday here on Genesis. You may have heard how relaxing an ionic foot spa can be. The warm, soothing bubbles rushing around your feet. The joy of relaxation. Few people realize how much benefit the ionic cleansing can be to remove toxins from your body. Electrochi Premier Foot Spa helps in cleansing the body of harmful toxins and energizes your cells. Each treatment will electrically recharge you at the cellular level. Your cells become electrically balanced and the cells are oxygenated. Your body will begin to work better. Energy helps your body to purge heavy metals, toxins, and parasites. And with ElectroChi, your well-being, vitality, and energy and health will improve dramatically, and you'll feel rejuvenated and energized. This is sold at thousands less than your health professional's office. Activate your wellness with a relaxing, energizing detoxification with ElectroChi Energy Foot Spa. Balance your body's meridians of energy and your wellness today. 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com.
Stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Barry Shamish, and so Barry, pick up the story from there.
Well, I noticed we have commercials, and I'm going to try and time everything so it works. So we'll just go to the present situation before delving into the murder of Raful Eitan, which, by the way, is no small murder. And I want to add that last week we spoke about Judge Azar's murder and preventing the PLO from paying compensation to terror victims. That story was, well, it right after we spoke, there's an item. I sent you a new one yesterday, by the way. I don't know, did you read about the seven congressmen are trying to prevent Condoleezza Rice from interfering in the cases involving the PLO?
Yes, and basically these are cases being brought in the United States against the PLO for killing Americans as part of their war on terrorism and according to their terrorist activities. And our government really is on the side of the terrorists. They say, oh, no, you can't sue the terrorists. Oh, my goodness, no. Of course, we're funding the terrorists. It would be rather foolish if we funded the terrorists and then we let these foolish Americans sue the PLO so that they'd get the money instead of the terrorists. But that's just the way it is. Doesn't make any sense, but then very little going on makes sense. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, it was quite uncanny that we had this discussion and then it became an issue. But nonetheless, today's murder is just as significant of as that of Judge Azar, but let's do the week roundup in a big hurry
so we
can get on to this murder. Number one, the murder of Mugnaya Imad Mugnaya, the Hezbollah terrorist murdered in Damascus, has really upped the likelihood of war. By all accounts, everyone is preparing for massive revenge. I might add something. It may have started already in the States. There was a sugar refinery in Georgia hit 5 days ago. It was called the Bitter Springs sugar refinery plant. 8 workers were killed. They don't know what caused the explosion. It's owned by the Israeli firm of Alon Oil. And it may have started the war against Israeli interests abroad. Keep that in mind when later on it proves to be true. You heard it first here. Look, nobody knows exactly who killed them. Syria is now blaming Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is now blaming Syria. But the Sunday Times was the British paper who found their Mossad sources who claimed that they replaced the headrest on Mugnaya's car with an explosive headrest and blew him to smithereens, which means, well, the Mossad did it. That's what it means. And that's what the Arabs, that's what they believe. And they're preparing all kinds of vengeance led by Iran, who, as near as I can figure, their leadership must be run by what's known as the New World Order, because they're just playing into all the hands with every action they take. But it looks like you're going to see war, more importantly, because the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, supposedly, surreptitiously released their war plan. And now, this is something you should know. Look, it was over the Yediot Akronot. That's the biggest paper in Israel. It was over their website, Ynet News, and the IDF supposedly being planned by Ehud Olmert, Ehud Barak, two mafiosi who you do not want to trust your children's lives to under any circumstances, are working with the IDF to attack Gaza Strip, put an end to the rocket attacks. And what this secret leaked plan was, I'll give you the basic details. Number one, all of southern Israel within, well, within at least 20, 25 miles of Gaza, it includes Ashkelon, they're all going to be in their shelters for a minimum of 2 weeks. They were warned that you're going to be rocketed for 2 weeks, and minimum, let's me think, it could be months. But that's the order. Head for the shelters if you live in the Israeli south. Next, there are going to be troops called into the West Bank to stop riots. And by the way, that's not a simple task. And in war, you don't use rubber bullets. If there's a real war, it's the real thing, you shoot people. And legitimately, if the people know there's a war going on, you don't riot against a country at war. So they've got troops all planned to go into the West Bank. Now, here's the one that the issue that got me. They are also preparing to deal with Hezbollah in the north. And look, Hezbollah in July of 05 tied up all of northern Israel for 34 days with their missiles. And not all that many missiles, relatively. It was only about 4,000. What do they mean they're going to deal with Hezbollah? If Hezbollah succeeds half as well, and they're a lot more prepared than they were in 05, all of northern Israel is going to be under missile attack, and anyone with a car is going to go where they think it's safe, or at least far away from their homes. Now, I noted what was forgotten in the secret report. One was Syria. Why wasn't Syria mentioned? They enter the war, you got 50,000 missiles, and they're not little Qassams. They're Russian Grads and Scuds and all kinds of deadly things. Syria wasn't mentioned. And there's a fifth column that should have been mentioned in a big way, and that's the Israeli Arabs, who are capable of immense sabotage. In short, what the IDF are planning for is an immensely complicated war. A war like this has not been fought in Israel since 1948. That's the last time there have been so many fronts and so many dangers to the country. And that's the IDF war plan, Litzi Yediot Akronot. There, I think I covered the week.
All right, fine. But, of course, the question is, why would they leak the plan? Obviously, they leaked the plan. They leaked it there for a specific purpose. Well, if they're going to attack Hezbollah, what are they going to do with the United Nations troops that are there in southern Lebanon? I mean, there are a lot of unanswered questions. And as you said, what about Syria? What about Iran? And, you know, if Israel attacks Gaza and goes back into Lebanon. So, you know, we could be on the verge of something very, very large and with tremendous implications, not only for Israel, but for the United States. And yet, what are we doing? Why, we're talking about Roger Clemens. And did he really take growth hormone and anabolic steroids? Something really important. That's what we're going to fill Americans' minds with day after day, rather than the issues, the life and death issues we're facing today.
Well, it should be noted, Iran was not mentioned in this report either. They've got a war plan that they better hope it's this easy, and already they're warning. The days of the Six-Day War are long past if they're warning the Israeli South that you're going to be in your shelters for a minimum of 2 weeks. You've got yourself, you don't have the Air Force carpet bombing Gaza and putting an end to the rockets in one day. They're planning a long, slowly drawn out war. And by the way, if you're planning a war, do you really leak it? Israel has always maintained the advantage of surprise. Surprise is what won in the Six-Day War. Why would you leak your war plans out? There are lots and lots of questions about this report, but I thought I'd mention it because in America I've never seen this war report anywhere.
Well,
so now you've got it from the idea of Akronaut. That's supposedly what the IDF is planning for.
Well,
now, do we have time to go into the murder of Rafael or Raful Eitan?
Well, we can get started with that.
All right. A little background first on who Raful Eitan was. First of all, he was the chief of staff of the IDF. He was my chief of staff during the 1982 war in Lebanon, but he was more importantly Sharon's chief of staff. Sharon was then defense minister. It was his war, and Eitan was his chief of staff. Now, the reason I say so is because he had come out, he had been killed November 23rd of 04, about 6 months before the forced withdrawal in Gaza of the Jews. And he had an interview in the Tel Aviv magazine. It's called Tel Aviv. And he said that the Sharon's plan for the evacuation of Gush Katif was historically wrong, and he hinted broadly that he could prove it. In Israel, that'll get you killed right then and there. First of all, he's got the goods on Sharon, and if he can prove it, he can bring down Sharon, and he was in a position to do so. Now, I'm going to very quickly say that he started a political party called Somet. Two of his members, Goldfarb and Segev, crossed the table in 1992 and went into Rabin's party and supported the horrible Oslo Accord. And Segev, by the way, Gonen Segev, who I knew, again, and who I'd spoken to, is currently sitting in jail for trying to smuggle 50,000 tablets of ecstasy into Israel, just to let you know how the mafia runs in that country. But his party was the one I last voted for, because I viewed him as honest. He was not so honest. He was forced out of politics because he stole $450,000 from his party's coffers to build a house for his mistress. And since he walked out of the political arena over this scandal, we assume it was true. That being said, you now know who Rafuli Khan was. Now let's go to the fact that he was... Oops, I hear the music.
You hear the music, and for our listeners, this is a general, a very highly placed general in the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish talking about why he was murdered and who murdered him.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest, Barry Shamish. And Barry, you go ahead and pick up the story about the Raful Eitan, General Eitan, and what happened to him.
We've already looked at the pictures. The pictures tell the whole story. They're in my book, Bye Bye Gaza. The picture, I believe I sent you a black and white copy, which was, you know, a normal price. It was like $25. There's also the color copy, which costs like $60. which we deprived you of. But nevertheless, you saw picture one of a fool's car. What a picture that was. His roof is entirely caved in. Something very heavy had to have fallen on the roof, but the whole car was smashed. All the windows were smashed. The doors were open, and the car was parallel parked on a pier road. And picture two was them retrieving the body on the other side of the pier. In a breakwater, you have two sides. You've got the calm side, which is the harbor, and you've got the seaside, which that morning was roiling. That's it. Now we're going to go into the murder. Lafoule Town was supposedly swallowed by a wave.
Very, why did they want to kill him? What had he said that they had to get rid of him?
He said that Sharon's Gaza pullout was a historical mistake, and he could prove it, and he went public with that. He was a danger.
Right.
Now, let's go to the actual murder. He was the construction manager from the year 2003 of the new port in Ashdod, the new harbor. They were expanding it, and that was his job. And don't ask me how he got that job. He was a general. He was not a contractor. But nepotism and knowing too many secrets gets you good work in Israel. Now here's where the story gets a little confused. Officially, we are told that he arrived at Ashdod port after a very stormy night at 7 in the morning. His company claimed that he spoke to them by cell phone, and they heard a giant wave. This is what the company testified to. They heard a giant wave at 7 in the morning, and then the phone went dead.
What's a giant wave sound like?
Who knows? I mean, look, if a wave is going to hit your cell phone, you're not going to hear the wave.
Right.
You're just going to hear the cell phone go dead. Nonetheless, that's what they testified to. The only problem is, at 8 o'clock in the morning when the workers actually arrive, they testified to the police, a whole string of them, that they saw him arrive at 8 in the morning. They saw him alive at 8 in the morning. So, you know, the natural inquisitive investigative journalists looked at that and said, what the hell is going on here? Why does the company say he was swallowed by a wave at 7 in the morning and the workers say that he arrived at 8 o'clock? So already there was a very serious contradiction, and there were many more, by the way. Nobody walks on to the edge of the breakwater facing the roiling sea. You have to actually work climbing over rocks to be in a position to do that. Now we go back to the pictures in my book, Bye Bye Gaza. Obviously, that car was not hit by a wave. Obviously. And I sent the picture to wave engineers. One was in California and one was in Israel. And I said, did a wave smash up the roof of this car and leave very sharp dents in the other side of the car where the wave apparently didn't hit? The car is parallel parked, which believe me, more people than one have told me if it was hit by a wave, the car would not be parallel parked. And all in all, it didn't make any sense. And I wrote it up that there's contradictions that are very, very serious about the timing of the murder and the worst. That day when I wrote it up, the government decided, by the way, it was the day of the murder that I wrote it up originally, the government decided to hire a commission of inquiry headed by the director of Ashdod Port, Shaul Rotem. They met for less than 3 hours, this commission. Less than 3 hours, they didn't investigate the timing. They didn't investigate why a 70-year-old man would come in the middle of the night, 7 in the morning in November, is not a time to investigate anything at this harbor. They didn't investigate the testimonies of the workers who saw him alive at 8. Nothing. Within 3 hours, they decided that a wave swallowed roughly ton. And that was the final conclusion after this intense investigation.
Well,
I wrote that that is absolute nonsense. But from then on, I took these pictures. They came from the Idiot Acronaut.
Hold that thought. We're going to go to a break right about now.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triomethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black murky elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black murky elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to black murky purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at murkywater.com.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our 1-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest, of course, is Barry Shamish, and we're talking about the murder of this Israeli general who had the audacity to say that Sharon's plan to force the settlers to leave Gaza was wrong, and he could prove that this was wrong, and then just very shortly after he made that statement on radio or television why he died under mysterious circumstances. Barry has not described the roof of the car. The roof of the car is totally crushed in, but it's crushed in predominantly on the right side, not on the left side where the driver sits. So you have to ask yourself, I mean, why would it be crushed on the right side, not on the left side? And why would there be all the sort of dents and very, very sharp dents on the left side of the car? Certainly a wave wouldn't make sharp indentations in the fender and certainly along the side of the door. Well, before we go on, Barry, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and your website, how they can get your books, and how they can get your DVDs.
All right. I'm going to rush it. This is from the book Bye Bye Gaza. The picture's on page 26 and 27. You go to Lulu, L-U-L-U, com. You write my name where it says search, and it's C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's how you spell Chambers. The website, you go to BarryChambers.com. It'll get you there. I'm going to leave my phone number without describing the DVDs I have. We'll tell you about it if you actually call me. 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. I want to get the story done. Now look, Howie was killed. You're working at a port after a storm. Howie was killed. There's enough cranes there that they drop a block on the car and he would have been crushed to death, and that would have been at the end of a ton. Unfortunately, the block missed him by about 6 inches, and that side of the car behind the driver wheel was somehow not touched, and they had to literally kill him. There was no other way, and they drowned him. He was supposed to have been crushed. Now, I gave a speech in Elkanah, a town in Samaria, a very big crowd, a very warm crowd, and as usual, I handed out these pictures before I even began speaking, and I said to people, do you really believe a wave did that to a car? Have you ever heard of a car in Israel ever crushed to smithereens by a wave? That's how I start the speech. The speech ended, and lo and behold, a man stands up. His name is Gidon Shamir. He is the Director General of the Israel Ports Authority. You could not get a higher person in the country to try and answer my claims. Now, I give him the pictures, and he studies them like he's never seen them before, but he studies them, and he says, I made a terrible mistake. He said, yes, it's true, the water in the picture is dead still, but that's not how Shamir was killed. He was killed by the waves on the other side, the seaside. A giant wave sucked him into the harbor side, knocked him unconscious, and killed him. And I was in trouble. I was in big trouble. My credibility was really at stake. And then I asked him about the sharp objects on the left-hand side of the car, which a wave could not have made. And there were lots of them. And he said, that's because Eitan was a very bad driver, and he got a lot of scrapes, and the sharp objects were there before the wave hit. And now I was in trouble. I mean, he got me 1-2, and it looked like I was going to go down. But then I said to him, I said, look, that car is smashed to smithereens. All the windshields, all the windows are shattered. I said to him, why isn't there glass on the road? And he says to me, well, I was there and on the port, and I saw lots of glass. And then I pointed a picture, and I said, well, where is it? And he hesitated. Very, very anxiously, he said, I made a mistake. I didn't see glass. The wave swept the glass into the ocean. And then someone from the audience, an actual engineer, stood up, tall gentleman in his 30s, and he started speaking about the tsunami in Asia. And he said, a car is like a boat, and the side with the motor is the anchor. And he says, if a wave hits, no car can remain parallel parked. And he says, we have all the pictures from Asia. The cars were all over the place. None were parallel parked. He said, the only ones that suffered damage, like we see in Eitan's car, were the cars that actually went into the water and were crushed. And this, first of all, was a very welcome advocate, very welcome. And now Gidon Shamir is getting very anxious. He was obviously there, well coached, to show me up. And then I say to him, I took out the second picture where Eitan is pulled out from the military base, 1.5 kilometers from supposedly where he drowned. I said to And even, by the way, the exposed part of the sea, I said to him, if he fell in the harbor side with no waves, wouldn't he have stayed in place? And Shamir said, yeah, he wouldn't have gone very far in the harbor. And I said, well, how come they found him 1.5 kilometers away on the other side of the breakwater? And then, and by the way, the audience was incredibly intense listening to this this discussion. And Eitan says, I'm sorry, and Guido and Shamir says, somebody had to have moved Eitan. And I said, well, who would do a thing like that? And that's it. I won.
Well, I'm glad that you did, but then you ran into him a little bit later, didn't you, when you were signing?
And then I got the ultimate victory. I'm signing books, which I do at my lectures, and by the way, I don't talk a long time when I'm signing books. It was my only way to survive. But he comes up to me while I'm signing books, and he just says the statement that said it all. He said, well then, what was the motive? As soon as he starts asking about the motive, that was victory. I proved it to the highest authority in the, well, the Director General of the Israeli Ports Authority now asks, what was the motive for the murder? Now, I decided, from my Rabin knowledge, I picked up a few pointers. I decided I was going to take my pictures, my testimonies, everything I'd gathered to the police. But I had a really, really amazing opportunity to do in the style. There were two reporters from the largest art academy in Israel, the Bezalel Art Academy. They were going to do a film about me. Now, they were going to talk about Rabin and stuff like that, probably mocking me. And I said, sure, come on over. I've got a surprise for you. I put them in my car. We drove to the police station, and they agreed to film me filing a police complaint against Shai Rotem, Ashdod Ports Director General, for conducting a public inquiry that was falsified. And by inference, that Eitan was murdered. And we show up there with the camera. I've got myself a camera woman. I've got myself a writer. I say to the police, in the police interrogation room, you have to sign your name, and you have to wait a little while. There's people in front of you. They let me in first. They would not let the camera in, but nonetheless, the police understood very, very well what I was claiming. And when I came out with a receipt from the police that I had filed a suit against Ashdod Port for covering up the murder of Raful Eitan. I faxed it to all the Israeli newspapers. And lo and behold, a very, very important reporter, that's Buki Na'er of Yediot Akronot, which published the pictures in the first place. I get a call from his assistant, Tal. He wants to meet with me. He wants to know about the murder. Now, I meet with him in Tel Aviv. We have what he was telling me was the usual journalistic lies that happen in Israel all the time. You assume you have an ally, and as soon as you walk away 10 feet, what he says is very unflattering about you as long as you're out of earshot. What happened, ultimately, the police never replied to my complaints. And with Rabin, I put in two complaints, one with 24 other people, and they replied. They were phony replies. They were phony reasons not to continue with the complaint, but at least they had the decency to cover up the murder with a phony reply. In the case of Raful, I never heard from them ever again, and that's unheard of. I mean, not only do I have a police complaint, I got the thing filmed. Never heard from the police, and I never heard from Yediot Akronot ever again. They were going to cover up Raful's murder, supposedly to help Sharon throw the Jews out of Gush Katif. It was that bad, by the way. The police and the largest newspaper in the country took all my information and deliberately did not reply to it. And that's what goes on in Israel, by the way. When the police are very nice at a local level. As it climbs up the ladder, that's when the cover-up begins. And they decided to just throw it in the garbage can and pretend I didn't even show up there. Now, there is one additional piece of information that you should know about. After I did the police complaint, after I met with Guido and Shamir, after it was included in my book, Shabbat V, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust, which again, you can get at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. It costs about $22. I included in the Hebrew edition the whole story of Eitan with the pictures. Okay, they're in the Hebrew edition. After about a year and a half of me pushing, as usual, pushing another murder for peace, exposing the establishment of Israel, Raful's wife shows up on TV, on big-time TV. Channel 2 is the only commercial station at the time in Israel, and she says something remarkable. And you can be sure it was scripted. She said Raful was a terrible driver, and that in the 18 months before he died, he had wrecked 3 cars. Now, believe me, if he had wrecked 3 cars, he wouldn't have a license. You don't let a guy who wrecks 3 cars keep on driving. And more to the point, the car in the picture was over a year and a half old. So the story was a complete lie. They had coached her what to say to stop the latest of my rumors that, in fact, Eitan was murdered so that Sharon could get his evacuation of the Jews from the Gaza Strip, and so the so-called peace disaster would carry on. And by the way, I will be writing in the next day or two or three about the latest of these murders. It has not stopped, but the murder of Eitan was very important because he was beloved in Israel. He was a very popular chief of staff. He was a politician who won 19 seats in the Knesset. He had the third largest party until it was broken up by bribery and blackmail. If this guy opened his mouth, Sharon would have had to suffer serious consequences, so they murdered him. And that's the horrible Israeli establishment that is going to bring this country into a war, and they're going to lose the war because they're too crooked and they're too murderous to actually protect the Jewish people. And this is what's going on in Israel. That's the story nobody is talking about.
Well, I think it's fascinating the way that they use television to plant ideas in people's minds. We see this here all the time as they, you know, they put out television programs for one specific purpose, and that is to alter your perception of what truth is. I'll never forget after Building 7 came down, they put on a special television program all about firemen, and there was one man trapped in the building, and they said, well, we're going to pull the building. Which, of course, we're supposed to believe means they're going to pull all of the firemen out of there except the one guy who's trapped. And that was done specifically to excuse what we'd been told, that, of course, Silverman, or whatever his name was, Silverstein.
You just confused me, but I know the story well.
All right, fine. But they just put this out. We're trying to get the American people to believe that when you say you're going to pull the building, you mean, well, pull the firemen out of the building. Of course, that isn't true at all. Pull the building meant they were going to take it down. But they had to change the attitude of the American people. It's exactly what this woman, the wife, was doing. Oh, my husband was a terrible driver. Why, he got all sorts of dents on his car. That was to neutralize the influence that you were having, Barry. I don't know how you survived, why they didn't kill you a long time ago.
Well, they got me. I was dead in the hospital. It was in that hospital that my friends told me to get out of there, and it was Larry Silverstein. One day we can talk about 9/11, which there's evidence of a collusion. I won't even talk about that, but when it comes to Israel and survival, I would not be in Florida today if I thought I could live another another month of that country, it became very, very frightening for me. I mean, I died. They refibrillated. Oh, my goodness. Dog, be quiet. I'm sorry to do this to you. That is my dog screaming in the background. Are we there?
We are there, and I was just smiling at the little
okay.
dog.
There, Cindy has grabbed the dog, and all is going to be well.
Fine.
And again, that is the issue. I was not supposed to survive Israel, and it's a miracle that I did, and that's why I'm in Florida.
Well, I think that Israel's loss is our gain. It's wonderful to have you here, keeping us abreast, not only what's going on, but of the history of your nation and how time and time and time again, those who tried to tell the Israeli people what was going on have met a very horrible and strange deaths. And we,
you know, next week, maybe we'll do Ofra Chaza. Believe it or not, this famous Israeli singer was also murdered, and it's quite a story. As long as we've already got started on murders, I got a million of them.
All right, fine. Well, we'll look forward to that. I guess it's been Barry Shamish. Barry, you want to get your website out one more time?
Just go to BarryShamish.com. It's officially the Barry Shamish website, and the books are at Lulu, L-U-L-U.com, and write C-H-A-M-I-S-H under search, and you'll find me.
And, of course, if I could suggest, his DVD on the, certainly on the Return of the Giants, on the UFOs, fascinating DVD. I think you'll really enjoy it. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Talk to you next week, Barry. Bye-bye.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and let me again remind you of some of the items we have that will help you prepare for the, well, for the very uncertain times that I believe lie ahead. We have a DVD. It's called Sheltering in Place. What do you do if there was a chemical, biological, and nuclear war and you couldn't get away? How would you be able to shelter yourself and protect your family right where you live? Well, that's what this DVD is all about. It's very well done. I've watched it myself, and it's better to start thinking about what you would need now. And believe me, you don't necessarily just want a lot of duct tape and plastics. There may be a place for them, but there are other things that you need. I mean, because, of course, if you use the duct tape and plastic and you seal the room, why, you'll suffocate in a very short period of time. Sheltering in Place, DVD, it's not that expensive, and we think it's a great thing to have. And then, of course, we have a book put out originally by the Civilian Defense called Surviving in Nuclear Warfare or Nuclear Survival Warfare Skills. I think it's Nuclear War Survival Skills. We actually carry the potassium iodate that you'd need for yourself. We have a four-tape set on civilian defense. Nobody else has anything quite like it. We've gone around and talked to the people who've been studying this and trying to figure out what people need to do. And, of course, so we put it into an excellent four-tape set. And then, of course, we have a book of making the best of basics, and it just tells you what to do. I mean, well let's imagine you've got a nice big container of wheat, but what do you do with the wheat? How do you cook it? How do you survive? What do you do if you don't have all the things we ordinarily have in a civilized society? What happens if the shelves at the superstore or the grocery store are empty, and of course they've turned off the gas and electricity? Well, certainly, if you'd like to get our emergency supplies, emergency food supplies, long-term food supplies, we've, of course, got the catalogs. We'll be glad to send you free of charge a catalog. Or if you already have a catalog, get an order in at least for something. Or if you don't get an order from us, get it from someplace, but lay in a supply of emergency food. And then, of course, if you need barrels to store water, pumps to get the water out of the barrels, or you need the filters like a Berkey filter, we have all of these things available. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We actually have three catalogs, one emergency food, one health products, and you need to have a lot of vitamins and the other things on hand so you can maintain your health. And then, of course, we have our regular catalog that talks about all the DVDs and videos and four tape sets and the other things you can get from Radio Liberty you're not going to get elsewhere. So we'll be glad to send you the catalogs free of charge, and call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you have access to the internet, go to our website at radioliberty.com. And you can pull down our newsletters. Now, if you don't have a computer and you want to get a free newsletter, you can call us, 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you one. And I'd ask for the December newsletter, General Ricardo Sanchez's speech. He was the commanding officer in Iraq for over a year. And he'll tell you quite honestly, we've never been allowed to win the war. We've never been allowed to win the war. We sent our boys there to bleed and suffer and die, but never to win the war. You have to understand, this is another no-win war like Korea and Vietnam and like the Bay of Pigs invasion. You don't think we try to win wars, do you? Wars are fought for entirely different purposes than you common people, can really understand. So, Ricardo Sanchez's December 2007 newsletter, we give you the important part of his speech that he gave in October of last year that was totally blacked out by the controlled media. All the things really important that he said were completely deleted because you must not be allowed to understand that we don't fight wars to win them anymore. We fight them for entirely different purposes. And then, of course, we ask you, of course, to tell others about our program. Encourage them to go to our website where they can listen to our programs 9 hours a day and not get anything accomplished. That's radioliberty.com. You can hear our archive programs, our live feeds, our MP3 programs, and watch the videos. But pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And with us today is Mr. Roy Beck. I've heard about for a long time. He has an organization he calls Numbers, and it's interested in letting the American people know about the illegal immigration unit and what's going on and how they're trying to get amnesty for the illegal immigrants. And when they do, of course, it'll totally disrupt the infrastructure of our society. But that's what it's about. They really want a multicultural, multilingual society. And there are people who have no loyalty to America. They have loyalty to a different goal. Well, of course, Mr. Beck has been on the front lines. And Mr. Beck, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about Numbers, how you got involved in this, and what you hope to accomplish?
Well, Numbers USA was started in 1997, and I guess that's a passive way to say it. I started it in 1997. My background was over a quarter of a century as a journalist, primarily newspaper reporter, and I've covered a lot of issues that impact on local communities and American society. By 1990, my conclusion was that nothing that I wrote about in terms of government officials or anybody else trying to make the quality of life better for Americans was going to work because of what was happening due to changes in immigration policy. And since 1965, it just gotten worse and worse. And we've gone from about a quarter million legal immigrants a year to over a million legal immigrants a year, plus at least, by official estimates, at least 800,000 to a million illegal immigrants a year. And that these numbers were just overwhelming our society, every aspect of our society. And, you know, people come into this from the liberal side and from the conservative side, concerned about what it's doing to the culture, concerned about what it's doing to natural resources, to infrastructure. It affects everything. So no matter what somebody really cares about and what makes living in America good, our immigration policy tends to be deteriorating it. That's why we call ourselves Numbers USA, because in the end, the most important factor in immigration policy is how many we allow to come in each year. And we've been working since 1997 to mobilize individual Americans, primarily on the Internet, to contact the members of Congress, to go around the elites, to go around the opinion elite institutions of America who make money and gain power over high immigration, and to ask the Congress to reduce overall immigration, both legal and illegal.
And, of course, I think the important thing is how do you reach people? And I think through the Internet is such a wonderful thing. In fact, I don't think we would even have a country now if it weren't for alternative radio and the Internet, where people can begin to get the truth that they'll never get through the regular media. Would you agree?
It has been an absolutely wonderful development. And just at the time when it seemed like the sort of the participatory democracy was being driven out by all the big institutions, talk radio and the Internet opened democracy back up again. And I agree entirely. There's no question that over the last 2 years, there were many occasions, I mean, I would say at least six times, that Congress would have passed an amnesty if not for the coordinated mobilization of talk radio and the Internet.
And, of course, you did a wonderful job there, because it was in 2006 when they wanted to get the amnesty bill through. And of course, apparently you and a few of the others got so many people upset and all riled up that they simply closed down the congressional switchboard. Yeah. You did a pretty good job there.
But, you know, the key thing is you got to get riled up in order to do something, but you got to do something too, don't you? And I think that's one of the things that all of us, the kind of work you do, the kind of work we do, is to not just tell people about the problem, to say there's something you can do about it. And the Internet's been very good about that. We happen to have been one of the pioneers in this in the 90s, and that is to provide very easy ways for individuals to come on and to send messages to the members of Congress that they agree with.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
You bet.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Roy Beck. And Roy Beck organized an organization called Numbers back in the 1990s, and it's really dedicated to getting the American people to understand that there is an organized effort through the use of illegal immigration to change and transform America. And of course, you go back, I can remember 1988 when Senator Hayakawa wanted to get through legislation through the United States Senate that English would be the official language of the United States. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, there are people who have a different worldview, of course, and he didn't get the legislation out of committee because there are people who don't want an American country. They really are internationalists. They want a multicultural, multilingual society, and of course, they will block any effort to stop illegal immigration or the things that's going on. And of course, Mr. Beck has been on the front lines of informing people, and I think I've heard you have almost 500,000 people on your internet list. Is that correct?
Well, we just this week crossed the 570,000 mark.
And of
so
course,
a year ago in January we had 230,000. So we have more than doubled in the last year, and that's, I must say, it's great. It also creates some extra internal issues for us, because with the, that kind of rapid growth takes some work, but it's a wonderful thing to have, to be able to reach a lot of Americans in a hurry and to mobilize them. we're in a situation right now, I tell you, we are I think we're in not maybe quite as much danger as we were last June, but in the next 2 or 3 weeks the leadership in the House and Senate, both Republican and Democrats, are testing the waters to see if maybe they could sneak something through. Well, maybe not so much sneak, but kind of shove it through right now. And the reason is they believe that everybody's so distracted by the presidential campaigns, no presidential candidate who was strong against illegal immigration has ended up winning. So their feeling is that this seems to suggest that Americans don't care that much. And their plan right now is to link a what we call a 5-year amnesty, basically giving a 5-year visa to every illegal alien, and that would allow them to work and live here for 5 years. And their thought is, they don't say it, but their thought is that in the second term of the next president, they could then go ahead and make it permanent.
But of course, the thing is that a lot of these congressmen are coming up for election in November. And we need to let them know we're going to remember in November. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Roy Beck. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Roy Beck. And he was simply saying that he feels that we're in a great deal of danger right now because of the leaders of both the Republicans and the Democrats, and believe me, there's bipartisan trees in there, in my estimation, they think they're going to be able to sneak through a piece of legislation this year that will give people who are here illegally a reward them for breaking our laws, give them a 5-year visa, and of course, at the end of that time, we're going to make them all legal. And of course, are there 11 million? Are there 22 million? What happens when they can come and bring in all their relatives from Mexico or from South America? And we have another 100 million people in America, all eligible for our welfare and all eligible for free education and free health care. And well, certainly, what's going to happen, Roy? Are we going to be able to head this off or not?
Well, absolutely, I believe we can head it off, but But it won't happen unless there's a big enough rise of the constituents. And that's why we're trying to mobilize all of our people right now. Come on, numbersusa.com. Send the faxes to especially their member of the U.S. House of Representatives. Let them know. I mean, look, the deal is this. It's not only a five-year visa for the illegal aliens, but it is a big increase in the H-1B visas for foreign tech workers and in the H-2B visas for foreign service and construction workers. This would have been outrageous last year, but now they're talking about these giant increases in foreign workers, both legal and illegal, at the very time that people are wondering if we're in a recession.
And a lot of people are going to be looking for jobs, and you're going to have the illegal immigrants here, and you're going to have all these people coming in under legal visas.
Unemployment is going up right now, job market is softening, and all they're thinking about is how can we pay back our big corporate donors and give them the extra foreign workers that we didn't give them last year. And this is the thing that's just so amazing about the immigration issue, is that the people who push for higher immigration, they don't connect it to any other principle. It doesn't matter what's happening to the common working man and woman in America. It doesn't matter what's happening to taxpayers. This is just one of those. It's a pork barrel thing as far as many of these congressmen are concerned, and that is, they've got corporate donors who want this, and therefore this is the pork barrel legislation they'll give them, and it really is almost. I mean, it's a little overstated, I suppose, to say it's treasonous, but it is such a disservice to their constituents. It's amazing these congressmen think they can get by with it. And of course, our job is to make sure that they don't get by with it, and even more important, to make sure that they know they can't get by with it, so that they don't take the bad action in the first place.
Well, I agree. I believe it is treasonous. I believe these people have no loyalty to America, and of course they have a different set of values. But until people understand that there really are people back there in Washington D.C. who have a different worldview, who want this multicultural world, this unified world, and that's why we have to open our borders here, as they've opened them up in Europe, and you can see how great things are in Europe. They've had riots, I think, in Denmark for the last 10 days. They're burning the cities down because they're unhappy because somebody was going to print a cartoon. I think it was in one of the papers there that was defaming Muhammad. And so it's all right to go ahead burning things down. And we're going to see the same thing in America if we don't get our borders under control and have people here who want to be Americans rather than who have a different loyalty. Well, could you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your organization, Roy? Because I think it's vitally important.
We are an internet organization, and that's www.numbersusa.com.
Numbersusa.com.
And although, of course, we're like any other nonprofit, we do give people a chance to give us money as a donation. The fact is, everything that's on our website is free. So, last year we processed more than 8 million faxes over the phone lines, to Congress to fight that amnesty. Oh, more than 8 million. And all of those we provide to the members of the public for free. So people just come on the website, sign up, enter their address and name and phone number, which you have to do if you're going to send a fax, and then we take care of the rest. And we provide various messages. People can choose the messages that most represent their own opinion, and they can write their own. It has been a marvelous thing to see this many Americans working together. And we've got a big fight on our hands over these next two or three weeks.
I think, the difficulty is most people don't even know what's going on in Washington, D.C. All you know about is Roger Clemens. Oh, we're going to talk about something really important. Did he use growth hormone or not? Ladies and gentlemen, this is all a diversion. Here we're talking about something that could transform America.
It'll happen, I know your listeners are all across the country, and a lot of them are living in communities where it's happening right now in a big way.
Right.
Others of your listeners, there are a lot of, especially smaller communities around the country, that this hasn't really hit real hard yet, but it's probably hit hard in a community in the next county over. And there's no community that it's going to be safe over the next 4 or 5 years. If this continues like it's been going, everybody's going to be dealing with the same kind of problems you read about in California or in Denmark. And you're exactly right. There are so many members of Congress that just have a different worldview. What they do doesn't make sense from yours and my worldview, but if your worldview is that it's nation states and sovereignty, national sovereignty, are passe, they're old-fashioned, that we now are moving into this new global era in which multinational corporations and multinational bodies make the decisions, what they're doing makes perfect sense. And, of course, I think what doesn't get said a lot of times is the only way that you have self-governance, that you have a true democracy, that you have any kind of Republican form of government, is if you have national sovereignty. If you don't have national sovereignty, then the people do not have control over their lives.
And I think that most people do not understand that there is an organized, orchestrated effort by the leaders of both political parties to do away with national sovereignty. That's what's so amazing, and I think people find it so difficult to believe, don't you think?
Well, you do have difficulty believing. But see, in the tops of these parties, they believe in the elites. They do not believe in government of, by, and for the people. They believe in government by the elites.
Amen.
And they believe that the elite structures, if you leave it to the professors at the top universities and to the CEOs of the top corporations and banks, and in some cases some of the top religious leaders, international religious leaders. In other words, they all are kind of looking to different elites, and I don't think most of them would be happy with the result, because in the end it's going to be an elite that's not their kind of elite that's probably going to tell them what they have to do. But in the end, they have lost their belief that government could be run and controlled by the common people. They just don't believe that's a good idea. They believe that the really highly educated, wealthy people like themselves know better. And it's quite a turnaround, and it's quite a shock. I mean, it's not like a conspiracy in the sense that a bunch of people got in a room together and conspired to figure out how they're going to do it. Even though some people are doing that, I just think that you've got almost every editorial writer in America for a newspaper has bought into this, but I don't think they've even thought it through. They just think it sounds like, well, kind of like a the kind of thing, an elitist idea, and they're willing to go along with it. And I think most of the people who are pushing it would be horrified once they saw the results.
And I think you're absolutely right, but by then it would be too late to turn back. And this is the tragedy. How many illegal immigrants do you think we have? We're told 11 or 12 million, but then, of course, back in 1986, they told us we only had 1 million, and it turned out to be almost 3 million.
Yeah.
How many do you think we have today? Do we have any idea?
Yeah, I don't have any special insight to that. What I will say is this, is that we tend to go ahead and go with the Census Bureau's official numbers in the sense that nobody estimates anything lower than that. That's 12 million now is what it's up to, 12 million, in terms of their official estimate. Now, there are some pretty educated kinds of other estimates that go as high as 20 million. Now, there's some others that go higher than that, but I would say that 20 million is about the highest that I would say that there's really strong evidence toward. And so it could be somewhere between 12 and 20 million. But even if it's 12 million, That's overwhelming. That's a huge number. The big thing is we've got to stop the trend. And the trend is that every year for the last 20 years we have hundreds of thousands, if not a million, more illegal aliens living among us than we did the year before. That's why we're pushing the SAVE Act, which doesn't solve everything, but it takes away the jobs magnet, because we think if you take away the jobs magnet, you'll start seeing 500,000 to 1 million illegal aliens going back home every year.
Amen to that. And of course, I think it's so vitally important that you realize, of course, if you give amnesty to the people who are here now, why, of course, when they become citizens or legal residents, then they can bring in their families from Mexico.
Well, not only do they bring in their families, but then all of their families that don't qualify yet and all of their villagers that don't qualify yet say, well, we might as well come on illegally because nothing will happen. And look, in a few years, they'll give us amnesty, too.
And once again, the Internet address so people can get in touch with you.
NumbersUSA.com. NumbersUSA.com. We hope to have everybody listening to join in and help us in these next 3 weeks.
So this is a very urgent thing. NumbersUSA.com. Go there, get the information. Start sending your Internet things. They'll help you. You sign in there, they'll tell you even what to say, or you can write your own letters. And you want to send faxes and emails and call your congressman and let them know that you're going to hold them responsible. And remember, why, of course, we're going to remember how they voted in November. And believe me, that's the one thing the congressmen fear. They kind of know what they're doing. Roy, thanks very much for being with us. God bless you. Hope to talk to you again sometime soon.
Thanks for all you do.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to have our producer go ahead and call Mr. Michael Crow, who's an associate of Mr. Beck's, and he's going to be with us the rest of the time. Mr. Beck is on the front lines of this battle, running an organization with some 550,000 members, and of course, they're in constant contact with them through the Internet. What a wonderful means this is that we can begin reaching people through them all across the country. And of course, I wish they were all listening to Radio Liberty as well, but that's all right. Each one of us has to have our own thrust, and I think Numbers has done a great job with over 570,000 Americans, of course, on their Internet list and having doubled over the past year. And believe me, they did a great job last year in blocking the immigration. Of course, in 2006, they tried to get it through. In 2007, they tried to get it through. And they will not sleep until they've destroyed America. They do have a different worldview. And until you understand that their loyalty, of course, is to this idea of the New World Order, a one-world government, a one-world religion, and then, of course, the one-world leader, until you understand that they have a different spiritual outlook than most Americans and a different loyalty, nothing makes sense. Well, with us right now is Mr. Michael Crow. Mr. Crow, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good to be with you.
All right, fine. Well, we've just been talking to Roy. And how long have you been with Numbers USA?
I've been with Numbers USA going on 2 years now, but more than that, I've known Roy Beck since about 1994, and this is when he first came up with his gumball video, which you may be familiar with. Have you seen the gumball video?
No, I haven't. In fact, I haven't even heard of it, so tell me a little bit about it.
Oh, well, this is quite famous. In fact, Roy came up with his gumball video presentation before Numbers USA was actually launched. And then built it up on the video presentation. Incidentally, the video was filmed. He had his presentation before it ever got on film, but he filmed it on Capitol Hill. I believe the year was about 1999, in front of a group of a couple of hundred of staffers who were taking their lunch breaks. And so somehow, in the year 2006, about June of 2006, someone put this up. It was not anyone from Numbers USA, but somebody put up this video on Google Videos, and you can still find it there on googlevideos.com. It became one of the top 100 videos for almost a year. It varied, of course, up and down according to the given week, but week after week, it stayed in the top 100 videos. And now in this video, Roy uses a big jar of gumballs, the gumballs demonstrating so many millions of population around the world who would like to come to the United States. And I can't really describe it more than that, but it's something that if you will see it, you will not forget it, because it illustrates in very stark and simple and easy to understand terms the effects of immigration on the United States and on the world. Starts with the fact that many people in the world are poor. People from Mexico are poor. But the fact is that three-quarters of the world's population enjoys a standard of living lower than that of Mexicans. Obviously, we don't have room for them all. But I have known Roy since about 1994.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Michael Kroll.
Good.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. With us now is Michael Kroll, who's been a friend of Roy Beck for many years. He's worked for Numbers for several years, and he was just simply talking about a video that Roy put out some years ago, talking about the fact that there are people from all over the world who want to come to America, and can you blame them for wanting to come here? After all, I mean, here you can come and, oh, why, of course, you can get on welfare, and you can get housing and free medical care. All you have to do is go to the emergency room at the hospital, and according to federal law, they have to take care of, and you can get free education for your children and subsidized education, you know, when you go to college, and boy, the land of milk and honey. But the trouble is that right now we're having problems. We're having to borrow a couple of $1 billion, $2.5 billion every day just to pay our contemporary bills. And, of course, you know, how long can you continue doing this before you go bankrupt? And how long can you do this before the whole economy begins to, you know, just collapse on you? And, of course, in many respects, this is already beginning to happen. But as long as we're, the government seems to be intent upon giving all the people, or many of the people who are already here, amnesty. They'll get a 5-year, well, they don't call it amnesty, that's a bad word, they're going to call it, we're just going to give them a temporary visa, a 5-year visa. So pick this story up there, Michael.
Well, obviously, we can see the ploy here. Once they're given the 5-year visa, then it's going to lead to something more. At the end of 5 years, are we expected to expel these people? Well, of course, the congressmen and senators who would vote in favor of such a thing would never vote to expel them. But I think Roy did illustrate that, you know, they're sort of testing the waters here to see what they can get away with. I think the lie that some people are bandying about is, because John McCain is the apparent nominee of the Republican Party, it means that Republicans are no longer concerned about illegal immigration. They are wrong. In fact, the people who have been voting for John McCain at the polls, as illustrated by some research published by the Washington Post about 2.5 weeks ago, they erroneously believe that John McCain is the best candidate to stop illegal immigration. According to these figures, 47% of Republican primary voters thought John McCain was the toughest on illegal immigration. Only 23% at the time thought that Mitt Romney was. This poll taken less than 3 weeks ago, when actually the opposite was true. At the time, while Mitt Romney was still in the race, he was clearly the tougher candidate on illegal immigration, while John McCain's position mirrored that of Ted Kennedy's. In other words, John McCain is still in favor of amnesty. So the voters voting for John McCain, many of them, made a big mistake in not understanding or knowing about the candidate's stance on illegal immigration.
But Michael, don't you think it wasn't that they made a mistake? They were simply lied to by the media. The media gave them the false impression. I mean, the media would like you to believe that John McCain is conservative, but he is not at all. In fact, John Kerry was even thinking of getting him to run for the vice presidency, you know, back in 2004. I mean, John McCain is a liberal. He's always been a liberal. And so, you know, to think that he's going to be on the right side of the immigration issue or most other issues, you know, it really is what's so frightening. But the American people have had no choice. I mean, they picked the candidates for us. They've given us the choice of Giuliani, who nobody wanted. And then, of course, Mitt Romney was, you know, certainly didn't have that much support. Most of the money was coming out of his own pocket. And Huckabee is a liberal, and certainly McCain is a liberal. We did not have a choice in the Republican Party, and certainly the Democrats don't have a choice either. I think it's about time the American people understand that the system, I believe, is rigged, that we get not the candidate of our choice, but the candidate of their choice. And when we speak of their, it's the establishment. Would you believe that? Would you agree or disagree with that theme?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. There was a lot of obfuscation going on by the news media. They were covering up John McCain's liberal record on immigration and his attempt to pass amnesties more than a dozen times during his tenure in the Senate. They did not quote, of course, Numbers USA's rankings of the presidential candidates, where we rated John McCain, Hillary Clinton, and Obama all in the same category, abysmal. abysmal is what we labeled them on amnesties, because they all promoted amnesties. In fact, of all U.S. senators, John McCain, in his for his career, is tied for the worst as far as illegal immigration is concerned.
And accusing Hillary and Obama are not too far behind him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, of course, our guest is Michael Crowe. And he's from Numbers USA, www.numbersusa. And we have a real problem because we're not going to have much of a choice in November. But if you, of course, get my 4-tape set on secret societies, why, we'll point out you haven't had any choice going all the way back to into the 1930s, 1936, when Alf Landon ran for president. But most of you don't remember those days. I do. I'm old enough to remember it. And if we want to save America, you've got to get educated, and you need to get informed, and Numbers USA is a good way to do it. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Michael Crowe. Michael, so did you put out regular advisories, regular news pieces, or do you primarily try to mobilize people for important issues like this election, the vote that's going to be taken in Congress in the next few weeks?
Well, we do all of those things. As Roy mentioned, membership in Numbers USA is free. I think it's important for voters to educate themselves and to keep the pressure on their elected representatives. Let them know that you're watching what they're doing. Let them know that you understand the issues. We're all stakeholders in the United States, and that implies a responsibility that we should educate ourselves, and there is power when we can join together to defeat these professors and CEOs and top religious leaders that are pushing for amnesties.
Amen to that. Well, of course, how often do you put out a directive, or do you put them out only when something comes up?
We put them out, for the most part, when there is a crisis. Unfortunately, that happens all too often.
Well, now, when is this new vote going to be taken in the House, and how soon should people start, you know, getting in touch with their congressmen and senators and let them know that they're going to remember in November how they voted, here on this important issue of immigration?
Well, we don't know yet when the vote is going to take place. In fact, a bill number has not been assigned, according to the latest that I've heard anyway. But they are moving forward with this plan, and they're very serious about it. It happens about half a dozen times each year that we get a serious attempt at amnesty. You'll recall the so-called grand bargain compromise amnesty that the people defeated last June. The people rose up and said enough, and the senators eventually voted against it, even when all of the big media and big corporate interests have been saying for months it's inevitable that this amnesty is going to pass. Finally, the American people found their voice and made themselves heard, and for one of the few times actually in history, the people triumphed over the interests of the big corporate interests and big religion and the professors and all of these. We have to remain vigilant. It's going to happen again and again. And the best way to educate yourselves and to know what's going on is to join for free at numbersusa.com. We'll send out email alerts to keep you aware. We'll tell you what you can say. We'll provide the phone numbers for your elected representatives to make it easy so that you can call them. We have these technological tools which are second to none, quite frankly, in the political world. No one else has this. And we provide this in order to save the country from attempts at amnesty
and other
we'll
bad
right legislation.
Back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michael Crowe, and of course he works with Roy Back there at Numbers. Their website is www.numbersusa.com. That's numbersusa.com, and of course everything is geared towards the internet, getting in touch with them, are they getting in touch with you, and of course there is new legislation coming up for amnesty. The President Bush, says he doesn't want amnesty at all. He's against amnesty. All he wants is for the people who are here illegal to be able to stay here, and of course you see him waving his little Mexican flag, you know, when he's speaking to audiences of Hispanic people. But there are an awful lot of people, Hispanic, who are here in this country legally, who realize, of course, this is going to destroy our nation. This has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with nationality, because, of course, the people, Spanish people who are here legally and who want to be good Americans, have just as much to lose as you and I do. If President Bush and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and the leaders of both political parties get their way and, of course, are able to bring in amnesty, and whether it's 10 or 20 million people are already here, and then they can bring in their families, and they're all going to get free health care, and they're all going to get free education, and they're going to get food stamps. They're not supposed to, but they do, under one guise or another, and subsidized housing. And it's just like the land of milk and honey. And all you have to do is come in illegally, and you're going to be rewarded. We're going to make it legal for you. Cindy, is there really an organized effort besides Numbers USA there in Washington, D.C., trying to fight this incredible move, which I think is designed to destroy the sovereignty of our nation?
Oh, yes. There are other organizations. We work very closely with an organization called Center for Immigration Studies.
Right. We've had them on a number of times. They always speak very highly of you, I might mention.
Yes, and we of them. And we're very appreciative of their efforts. They put forth a great many very timely studies, you know, which proves our position. It's important to have this kind of research. I can say that there is no other network of activists like Numbers USA is able to bring together with our 570,000 members. You know, you'll find it very interesting that January 1st of 2007, that's a little over a year ago, we had only about 200,000 members. That shows you how much we've grown in this short time. The thing is, every time the Senate and the House starts talking about amnesty attempts, that's when our membership grows. But with John McCain or Obama in the White House, we're going to need to grow this membership more. I couldn't be more serious. We're going to have to get to be about 1 million members if we're going to be able to harness and to you know, and to join together people so that they can speak with one voice in order to stop these future attempts at amnesty. I think that what President Bush and the present Congress has tried to do with amnesty will pale in comparison with the future administration of either McCain, Obama, or Hillary.
Well, no, of course, certainly, haven't there been studies done across America how the average American felt? I thought it was somewhere around, what, 80 or 85% of the American people are against amnesty. Do you have any figures on that at all?
Oh, yes, there have been numerous polls which have been taken. You know, it depends on how you ask the question. But typically, over 70% of Americans are opposed to illegal immigration. Part of that 70% wants to see all of the illegals deported. Others want measures taken against it, which are not quite as severe. But, yes, between 70 and 80% of Americans are very definitely opposed to illegal immigration.
But if we just cut off the jobs, in other words, if they didn't have jobs here and we were enforced the laws that are on the books, that they promised the American people they would enforce back in 1986 when we gave the first amnesty under the Reagan administration. They promised that, you know, they would come up with a workers program, they'd enforce the border restrictions of immigration, they'd go after the employers, and they simply lied about that. I mean, they had no intention of trying to stop the illegal immigration, and now here we're all the same thing again, and they're just saying, just trust us, you know, just trust us. I mean, we would never lie to you. Why would we think they wouldn't lie to us? They've always lied about the immigration issue.
Yes. Yes, I think in 1986, certainly some of them were lying, and others were putting the cart before the horse. They wanted an amnesty before they had secure borders. Well, fortunately, more and more Americans are awake to this kind of thing now, and it's going to be more difficult for them to slip a lie past us. But let's see, you did ask a question about... of course, if we cut off the jobs magnet, then you know that most of the problem is going to be solved right there. This is the primary part of the current bill, the SAVE Act, which is before the House and the Senate. Roy may have alluded to this one earlier, but the SAVE Act was introduced by Representative Heath Shuler, the former NFL quarterback, now congressman from Western North Carolina. But a Democrat, and it's a bipartisan bill, and it has 144 co-signers so far. Bipartisan co-signers, most of them Republican, but quite a lot of them Democrat also.
Now, what is the basic thrust of the bill?
The basic thrust is that it would make mandatory use of the E-Verify system, which is now voluntary, except in the state of Arizona, where it has become mandatory as of January 1st this year.
Now, in other words, basically an employer is required to determine if they're legal, and if they are illegal, he may not hire them without severe consequences?
Yes, that is correct. So there is a database which is available that they can check, and it's quick, it's efficient, and it's pretty accurate, too. So that they can get, in most cases, in 90% of cases, they'll get the feedback within 10 minutes of entering the information for a new hire as to whether that individual has the right to live, reside, and work legally in the country. If a negative comes back, perhaps there's some problem in the system, such as a woman who's gotten married and did not change her maiden name to her married name. Oh, that's something that's easily taken care of, and they have a few weeks in which to address this. And so it's a system which is working pretty well already. Photographs are being added to the database so that even, you know, if you have an applicant sitting before you, you can compare his photograph to that of which pops up on the computer, you know, for even better verification. And so, obviously, if we can cut off these workers from the job magnet, the illegal workers, then they'll have no choice but to remove themselves and go back to their home countries because they won't be able to sustain themselves in the United States.
Well, because I think the vast majority of the American people support that. It sounds like a lot of members of Congress support that. But it would appear to be that there are some very powerful people, including the president, the leaders of both political parties, who really don't care how the American people feel. They seem to have their own agenda. Do you ever have that feeling?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the SAVE Act, while it's received a good deal of traction in the House, has not gotten a lot of traction in the Senate so far. But this latest attempt at amnesty, you know, these trial balloons actually are coming from Nancy Pelosi and other leaders in the House who are trying to come up with something to counter the phenomenal success of the SAVE Act in getting bipartisan support. That's why they're trying to cobble together this plan, this five-year amnesty deal, because they think that they can get some pro-business Republicans to support that and then come up with a bipartisan bill to challenge the SAVE Act.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 in the Central Coast of California where I live. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Our guest is Michael Crow. And Michael, should people be writing their letters, writing their emails and their faxes? Because this is so much easier than writing a letter. But writing their emails and faxes and putting their calls in, should we start now or should we do that later? What are your thoughts?
Well, this is one of the benefits of membership in Numbers USA, that we provide a fax that you can send literally with a point and a click on the internet. It's that simple. You can add your own words in a PS, or you can change the words if you like. If you're in a hurry, you can just point and click and send that thing, and it'll go off to your representatives. Also, we let you know when it's important to send those emails and to make phone calls. When it's important to make phone calls, we like to flood the Capitol with those calls in order to register an opinion. You know, it was like that last June 28th when we and the support of talk radio people were able to crash the phone system on Capitol Hill, the first time it had happened in history. That's when the senators finally got the message and voted to defeat the Grand Bargain Compromise amnesty. That was the Bush-Kennedy amnesty. And so we can help with that. We'll let you know when it's important, and we'll make it easy for you.
I know. I think it's so interesting that President Bush and of course, Teddy Kennedy worked so closely together. One, of course, on the right, one on the left, or is there really much difference between them? Well, let's get back to the discussion, and I really think it's so vitally important that people understand that a nation that cannot protect its borders is no longer a sovereign nation, and that's really what this is all about. Can we maintain our sovereignty, or will we end up with a multicultural, multilingual, violence and crime-ridden society? And believe me, of course, here in California where I live, you see a tremendous increase in crime and And, of course, the gangs are there, and the drugs are there, and the new diseases are there, and the healthcare system is collapsing. And you go into the emergency room at most hospitals. Well, most hospitals have closed down their emergency rooms because, of course, they couldn't afford them. And those that still have them, of course, I had a friend go in there the other day to get something done. And after 3 hours, they came out and said, look, it'll be another 9 hours before we can get to see you. Why don't you just go to home and take an aspirin, you know? Basically, we're seeing the destruction of the infrastructure of our society and new diseases and, of course, less jobs and lowering, of course, the wage levels, all part of the byproduct of illegal immigration. Let's go to Bob calling us from St. Louis. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Hello, Bob. Fine, doctor. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I was, I think that something would really stand out if there was a compilation of a list of what the immigrants, these illegal aliens, bring into this country and what they take out. And we know the main thing they're coming in here for, they might work for maybe a year, but then they bring their families over here. They close down hospitals and stuff like that. Just a real number as to how much money they're taking out of the tax dollars of this country. And weren't the Germans, during World War II, wasn't their plot to come through the South? And isn't that part of the communist plot, too, is to come up through South America, bring their little banditos up from South America and such to our southern borders? And isn't this actually an act of war? If you think of World War II, when you think of the present-day communists, what they were talking about is bringing them up through through Mexico.
But Bob, these are not communists. These are people who come here. They want a better job.
No, the people who are making it enabling these people to come up here, it's a communist plot to bring them up here to bring this country down.
Well, is it a communist plot, or is there some other force that's working behind it, like the elite who have a different agenda and have used communism for years? Thanks very much, Bob, and let's go to... Do you have any comment at all on what Bob said before we go to Mr. Wilson, who's in Chicago?
Well, yes, there is a net cost to immigration. There have been a number of studies that try and prove that that illegal immigration is a benefit to the United States, but actually the contrary is the truth. According to a study done by Robert Rector at the Heritage Foundation and released last May of 2007, it proved that the amnesty under consideration at that time would have resulted in a cost of $20,000 per head of every illegal alien put on the path to citizenship or legal residence and right to work in the United States. That figure sounds astronomical, but you have to keep in mind that it includes the cost of public schooling, $20,000 per head, and with the resultant chain migration that would have resulted from that amnesty, which fortunately was defeated, Robert Rector calculated a cost of $2.3 trillion to the United States over the ensuing 20 years. Thank God we defeated that amnesty attempt.
I'm glad you did. Let's go to Mr. Wilson, who's in Chicago. Hello, how are you today?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I just have a question to ask you about these illegals. Are most of them going to be voting out in California?
Well, they're not supposed to vote, huh?
But I think they are. Most of them are. I know they are here in Chicago.
Okay, what are your thoughts on that, Michael?
Well, certainly, there have been documented cases where some illegal aliens have voted. Of course, they can claim ignorance because we've made it easy for them with motor voter registration so that when they register their motor vehicles, get their driver's licenses, they're automatically registered to vote in many states as well.
And how can you do that when they're not citizens, though? That's the thing. Why don't they require proof of citizenship when they give them their driver's license?
Well, they're on these forms, and I remember looking at these forms in the state of Virginia where I live. They're just claiming. They don't have to prove it. There is a statement reminding them that it is illegal to vote if they're not citizens.
But, of course, we never do anything. There's no punishment for that. In fact, a lot of the politicians just assume they voted and violate our laws, and you can violate the laws with impunity and get away with it. It's only, of course, if you're perhaps violate specific laws that they don't want violated. But so much is done to encourage people to violate our laws, like coming to this country illegally. They're here illegally, flaunting our laws, and yet we seem to be rewarding them for doing it.
And you hear some of them saying that they're going to control the vote.
Okay, what
do you... I've heard quite a few of them say that.
Yes, well, I hope there are not going to be large numbers of illegal aliens voting in November. Frankly, I don't think there are going to be anything on the order of hundreds of thousands.
Well, most of them, I believe, is going for Hillary, I believe.
Well, I think that's true, if not... Yes, for the most part, I believe the illegals are in favor of Hillary more so than Obama.
Right. Well, I'm mostly for Ron Paul, but I have one more question on my hang up. And have you guys heard that Obama's in the Council of Foreign Relations?
I haven't. I don't believe he is, but I could be mistaken. Do you know anything about that, Tom Mike?
I remember seeing some headlines about that, but I don't believe that I delved into it, so I can't speak to that.
I really can't speak to it either. If you could find anything at all to prove that, which...
Well, I heard it on the Power Hour the other day.
All right, fine. Well, Joyce is usually pretty accurate, but
yeah.
I would certainly like to see the documentation.
I would, too.
All right,
okay,
God bless.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we got a real problem. We got a lot of people who love America. And, of course, it goes across all colors and races. And, Mexicans love America, and certainly all sorts of people love America. This is a great and a wonderful nation, but I believe we're under attack today. And if we can't guard our borders, if we can't maintain the sovereignty of our nation, then the dream that was America, I believe, will soon become a nightmare. Do you have a parting thought for us, Sir Michael?
Yes, this latest amnesty talk in the House, from leaders in the Democratic and the Republican parties, is a kind of insane thing, because they're talking about bringing legislation to the floor to greatly expand the pool of foreign labor in the country, even as they talk about the need for taxpayers to provide more unemployment compensation for all the Americans who are losing their jobs.
It doesn't seem logical, does it?
No, it doesn't seem logical at all. We need to hold their feet to the fire.
Hold that thought. We've got just a couple of minutes more before we let you go. Well, Michael, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
All right. It is an insane thing for them to be contemplating these amnesties and importing yet more foreign labor at a time when many Americans are losing their jobs and there is talk of recession down the line. It's more than ever, we as stakeholders, as Americans, have a right and a responsibility to hold our representatives' feet to the fire. As we've mentioned, there's frankly no better way for you to do that than by taking advantage of free membership at numbersusa.com. We'll keep you informed, and we have a team on Capitol Hill, by the way. We have a staff of about 30 people now, including a team on Capitol Hill. We stay in touch with members of Congress. We keep our ears to the ground so that we know what's coming down the pike. That's why we know about this amnesty that we're talking about, but which is not being reported in the major media. We can give you the news that you don't hear anywhere else. It's very important that we do so, and to keep the American people informed. That's our mission. And that's what we strive to do every day.
Well, I think you're doing a wonderful job. And, of course, once again, it's numbersusa.com, isn't it?
Yes, numbersusa.com. Membership is free. We've got 570,000 members. We're going to need to grow that to about 1 million or more if we're going to be able to stop the next president and the next Congress in their inevitable amnesty attempts, of which they make about 6 attempts each year.
Well, of course, we need people back there in Washington, D.C., who keep us informed of what's going on. And then, of course, we need people out across America who care enough to be willing to take a few minutes, a couple of times a week, maybe, to get to send in emails, or at least to read the emails they get, and then, of course, to notify others about what's going on, and then to contact the congressman. And you've made it so easy for them. All they have to do is go to your website, and everything is there that they need, isn't it?
It is. It's there, the latest news, and we'll keep you informed with timely information. It's important that we make our voices heard, hundreds of thousands at a time, in order to make the impression on Capitol Hill. We'll let you know when to do that, and God willing, will continue to beat back these amnesty attempts, but we must remain vigilant.
And, of course, the people on the other side are not about to give up. They intend to create a society with multilingual, multicultural foundation and to destroy, you know, this nation as we've known it. God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us, Michael.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and somebody called in and suggested that, this immigration is a communist plot. Well, it's not a communist plot. You have to understand, if you listen to our programs, you've heard this over a period of years, that communism was financed from its very inception as a distraction. And the Communist Party here in the United States was largely funded by the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford, and by the FBI. In fact, they said that towards the end of the activities of the Communist Party here, why, you went to a Communist Party meeting, most of them were FBI informants. And, of course, tragically, this is really what's going on. If you haven't certainly seen my talk on the World Revolution, it's on DVD or video, where I interview the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution, 1959. His name was Earl T. Smith, and I interviewed him back in 1980, and he will tell you that they knew Fidel Castro was a communist. We've kept him in power, you know. The president knew he was there. We brought him to power. The CIA and the State Department brought Fidel Castro to power. And then, of course, if you read the Congressman Ron Paul's farewell address in 1984, and that'll be the subject of our March and April newsletters, Ron Paul tells you how we were funding the communist dictatorships, we were funding Fidel Castro, we were funding Argentina, there was funding Fidel Castro. And through the years, I've noticed so often, as we've given money to other countries that are funding Fidel Castro, the only way, of course, we could keep him in power, but we can't let the American people know that. You have to understand what Plato wrote in the Republic. When the tyrant has defeated the enemies by conquest or treaty and there's nothing to fear from them, then he's always going out and creating a new enemy, or rounding up a new enemy, so he can rally the people behind him. And that's what communism has always been. But we can't let the American people know that. We've got to believe that they are the enemy, and yet we finance them at every step of the way. You need to get my little pamphlet. It's called the Communist Capitalist Alliance. You need to get the DVD, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. And we have a book by the same title. And we have another very important book entitled Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, and finally my talk on Brotherhood of Darkness. And if you read all of those, you'll know more than most college professors do. This is not a communist plot. This is a plot by the elitists who have used communism since its inception to justify rallying the people behind the government, giving massive amounts of money to our government to protect us from the wicked communists who are going to take away our freedom. At the same time, the elite was taking away our freedom. And step by step, all power has been centralized in Washington, D.C. We go from no-win war to no-win war, whether it be the no-win war in Korea, the no-win war in Vietnam, the no-win war at the Bay of Pigs when we set the people in to die, promising to give them air cover, promising to give them supplies. We never intended to win. We sent them into the one place in Cuba where they'd be sure to lose. And I know, because I personally talked to the man who was in charge of the war room at the Pentagon at that time, and he told me that when they heard that they'd shifted the site of the attack to the Bay of Pigs, they knew that those men were being sent in to die. And they all went out and got drunk. So there's nothing they could do about it. And some years later, when I asked him if he could come on our radio program and talked about it, he checked with Washington, D.C., and they said, no, you could not. He had a top security clearance. He was out of the military, but he couldn't talk about it. After all, the Fidel Castro might find out somehow what we knew before the Bay of Pigs invasion. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, nothing as it appears to be. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. Let me recommend our inexpensive little pamphlet, The Communist Capitalist Alliance, the book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, the video, or DVD, my interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, and my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the information. You need to understand that immigration is not a communist plot, but it is a plot to destroy America and bring about the new...